House Committee on Business and Consumer Affairs on Thursday, April 11, 1991, at 1:30 p.m. in hearing room at the State Capitol Building. Today's agenda is a work session on House Bill 2176 for possible reconsideration, and House Bill 2132, House Bill 2133, House Bill 2297, Senate Bill 41, and public hearing in a work session on Senate Bill 454, 209, Senate Bill 3, 8, 11, 12, 13, and 17.
House Committee on Business and Consumer Affairs, in simple order. First, we're going to open our session on House Bill 2176. We passed this bill on without a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. We found out that we do need it.
Mr. Chairman, I would move the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on House Bill 2176.
Okay, members, the purpose of this is so we can change the motion that's sent up to the floor and include in the motion a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Okay, the motion is to suspend the rules to reconsider the vote by which we passed House Bill 2176. Any objection? If not, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move we reconsider the vote by which House Bill 2176 was approved, sent to the floor.
Okay, Representative Walden moves that we
reconsider the vote.
Move House Bill 2176 to the floor with the due pass recommendation and subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Any discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Barnes?
Aye.
Nato?
Aye.
Oakley? Stein? Walden?
Aye.
Reichen? Mr. Chair?
Aye. Motion passes. Representative Stein and Oakley are excused.
Let's see. Did that take care of it?
Yes.
You move to reconsider? Don't you need now? Don't you move to send it?
That was the motion.
I knew
the first
that.
Motion was that.
Yeah, I knew that.
Okay.
Sure. Somebody for next.
Okay, we'll now open our session on House Bill 2132. This one,
hold on.
We'll close the work session on House Bill, or the work session on House Bill 2132, and open the work session on 2133. Terry, you want to bring us up to date on this one, please?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Briefly, the House Bill 2133 increases the fee for licenses and permits to practice radiologic technology. The bill permits the issuance of licenses for less than 24-month periods on a prorated basis by the Board of Radiology Technology. At the work session on Tuesday, there was one set of amendments suggested to the committee. Those drafted by legislative council and are with your bill now.
Okay, members, this amendment, if you recall, came from Oregon State University, which has limited use of X-ray machines to do research, and this language was suggested by the Attorney General's office as language that would permit issuance of temporary licenses for persons to do that. We've got the dash one amendments in front of us.
Mr. Chair, I would move the dash one amendments 2133.
Okay, Representative Walden moves the dash one amendments to House Bill 2133. Discussion? Any objection? If not, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I'd move House Bill 2133 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, the motion is to send the bill to the House with a due pass recommendation.
Any discussion?
The clerk will call the roll.
Representative Barnes?
Aye.
Nato?
Aye.
Oakley, Stein, Walden?
Aye.
Reichen? Mr. Chair.
Aye. Motion passed. And we'll now open a work session on House Bill 2297. Terry, you want to bring us up to date? I think one of the persons who drew the amendments come forward and tell us what they do.
Yes, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2297 is pre-session filed in the House Interim Committee on Business and Consumer Affairs for the Oregon Auto Body Craftsmen Association. background on this bill, the bill would simplify the definition of total vehicle and requires the Motor Vehicles Division to brand the title and registration with the word totaled. The bill requires an insurer who declares a vehicle totaled to obtain the plates and registration from the owner and return them to the Department of Motor Vehicles if the owner has not already done so. In order to increase the number of owners who report when their vehicles are totaled, the owner's legal obligation to do so would be printed on the DMV accident report form. There have been cases of automobiles that have been totaled or repaired and are sold without the new owners being aware of the vehicle's history. This raises problems for both safety and consumer protection. This bill has been heard in public hearing and work session in our committee on January 22nd, 24th, and February 21st. You have in your file a hand-engrossed version of the bill with the 8 sets of amendments. As you mentioned, Mr. Chair, Al Elkins, representing the Oregon Auto Body Craftsmen Association, is here today. If you would like to have him review the amendments and their changes they make to the bill.
Al, would you please come forward and tell us about these?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Al Elkins. I'm representing the Oregon Auto Body Craftsmen Association. I'd be glad, Mr. Chairman, to go through the Hand and Gross bill and talk to the amendments, however you would like to handle it.
Why don't you tell us whether or not you've got agreement with the other people who are interested in this bill also.
Yes, sir. For the record, we're in agreement with all of the amendments that have been proposed, and we have no problems with anything that's in the bill.
Okay.
As you have it.
Okay. Yeah, please go through the bill and tell us what the amendments do.
Section 1 of the bill, Mr. Chairman, is new language, and it adds Section 2 of this Act to Chapter 801, which is the general provisions and definitions for the Department of Motor Vehicles. Section 2 is the new definition of a total vehicle. And it incorporates on lines 8 and 9, excuse me, on lines 8, the dash 6 amendments, which were submitted by Mr. Powell, representing a number of insurance organizations, and by ourselves in the dash 8 amendments, the Oregon Auto Body Craftsman. Section 3 of the bill incorporates the dash 6 amendments, and it adds sections 4, and it's the wording is 4-5. Because we've incorporated through to the dash 6 amendments new section 4A. Section 4.
Al, I want to stop you there.
Yes.
Has the Legislative Council drafted the dash 8 amendments? Or?
Yes, they have.
Yeah, I didn't see them. Maybe they're attached. You said it was four sections 4 and 5, and we're taking on and?
Yes. Yes, sir.
And we're substituting what word?
We're substituting sections 4-5.
4-5?
Yes, and that would include sections 4, 4A, and section 5 in that wording.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Section 4 of this bill is new language. It outlines penalty provisions for a person not for a person not adhering to the definitions in relation to a total loss vehicle, a stolen vehicle that is not insured, or a wrecked vehicle that is not insured. The amendments that you're looking at are on line 28. Those are the dash 4 amendments submitted by the Department of Motor Vehicles and Mr. Powell, and they are both in agreement with those. And the dash line 30, you have the same amendments, the dash 4 amendments in agreement with the Department of Motor Vehicles and Mr. Powell's organizations, and they have to do with the fact that you do not have to surrender the registration plates to the Department of Motor Vehicles. On page 2 of the bill, line 1, plates is again referred to in the dash 4 amendments, and that is through the Department of Motor Vehicles and Mr. Powell. On line 2 of page 2, and on lines 3, on line 3, you still have the dash 4 amendments. Lines 5 through 13 on page 2 have been crossed out. Those are the dash 6 amendments submitted by Mr. Powell. and they do away with the penalty provisions, and we are in agreement with those, and they, Section 4A speaks to new penalty provisions in relation to insurance companies, or the one that insures the vehicle. On line 14, number 4 is, now has a new number, number 3, and that is in the Dash 6 amendment submitted by Mr. Powell. Section 4A is a brand new section, and we're in agreement with it. It takes the place of the lines 5 to 13, which are listed above, and these are in the Dash 6 amendments, and Mr. Powell, these were submitted by Mr. Powell in agreement with the Oregon Auto Body Craftsman Association. It basically outlines what the insurer must do, and lines 28, 29, and 30 on that page make it a violation of the insurance code, and we are in agreement with that. We have a new page, page 2A, and it starts with section 5. There are no amendments in that section except for new line number 38, which is in the Dash 6 amendments, line 39 of section 5, which adds to that line, when committed by someone other than the insurer, that's submitted by Mr. Powell, and that has to do, section 5 has to do with a penalty provisions for a person that does not adhere to the following sections or the requirements, and they have clarified that it does not, those penalties do not adhere to the insurance company. The next set of amendments are in section 7, submitted in the Dash 6 amendments on line 41, and that's 4A or 5, and the reason we put the 4A or 5 is because of the new section that was lettered. Those are submitted by Mr. Powell. Section 8 is still, line 46 is the Dash 4 or 4A, and that's reference to the new section Dash, 4A. Those are the only amendments on that page that are hand engrossed. Page 3 has no hand engrossed amendments. Page 4 has hand engrossed amendments. On line number 4 of page 4,
you need to slow down a minute. I'm missing some pages, I think.
Oh, they're just in the wrong order.
Yeah. I don't know if they're all out of order, but I've got 6, 5, 4.
Yeah, they're in there, but they're out of order.
Okay. So which page are you on?
I'm on page 4, Mr. Chairman, and I'm speaking to line 5.
Okay.
Two hand engrossed amendments there, which are the Dash 6 submitted by Mr. Powell, having to do with adding section 4A, and the last portion of that line 5, unless the reason for the report was theft in the vehicle has been recovered. Mr. Powell has submitted those amendments so that if the in the previous sections we've said a stolen can be total vehicle can be related to theft. They did not want this the word total to be if there was no damage to the stolen vehicle, so this exempts that.
On that point?
Yes.
Well, isn't that conflict with section 2, sub 2 on page 1, which specifically identifies as a total vehicle?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Representative Walden, it doesn't conflict. What it does, and maybe Mr. Powell can speak to this better than I can, what this does is say that if the vehicle is stolen, it is a total vehicle, but if it's not wrecked, then it has the title for the vehicle does not have to be branded totaled if there was no damage to the vehicle and it's recovered at a later time.
Why, Mr. Powell, would you come up and help us with this, please?
I don't understand why we go through that loop.
Yes.
He has a specific example, Representative Walden, that he can bring forward to you.
Yeah, John, the question was on page 4. I think you've been following along on where unless the reason for the report was theft and the vehicle has been recovered.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, the members of the committee, the concern that was raised was an example of under section 2 of the bill, a totaled vehicle is one that is declared a loss by the insurer. And if that car had been stolen, for example, and they made full payment to the insured in that case, then it would be, they would be taking the title and it would be, in essence, total, a total loss. there are situations that arise where a vehicle may have been stolen and hidden, and no damage done to it. The language then on page four allows for an exemption from the titling of totaled if it has been stolen and was recovered.
So then the, no, go ahead, Representative Walden, your question.
Okay. Well, I'm still a little confused why we bother to label a vehicle totaled if it's not damaged. And we already define damage. Why do we go through the process of saying if it's stolen, kept for 30 days, and recovered, it's totaled, except that if it's not damaged, it's not totaled?
Mr. Chairman, I believe the answer to that question is that the insurer may well have declared it a total loss because it's gone, and so they've paid the insured under the policy.
Okay.
And now they recover the car after that's taken place, and the car has not been damaged, yet it has been declared a total loss under the policy.
Okay, Mr. Chair, if I could follow up. Yeah. Explain to me what happens if the vehicle doesn't have a comprehensive policy on it. Because this would say a vehicle that's stolen, if not recovered within 30 days of the date that it is stolen, and if the loss is not covered by an insurer, is declared total. Are those people who have a 72 Ford pickup that they don't bother to put comprehensive on going to have their titles branded?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Walden, if the car was not insured, we wouldn't know about it other than perhaps getting a deletion from it, from the policy. That is,
right.
There wouldn't be an insurance claim in that case.
I understand that. I guess my question is different in that because there wouldn't be an insurance claim, would you or would you not, as the individual owner, be exempted later on in this bill?
I understand what you're getting at.
I don't have insurance. This vehicle, if this vehicle's not insured, it is claimed totaled under this law, the way it's written, right? And so the private owner who doesn't carry comprehensive, it's going to have a vehicle.
Representative Walden, my name is Bill Murr. I'm counsel to the Oregon Auto Body Craftsman. Members of the committee, my understanding of how this would work is that in an individual situation, as you described, it would work the same as for an insurance company. If that individual recovered the vehicle, there would be no necessity to have marked the title. Does that answer your question, or?
I agree philosophically. Can you work me through the bill and show me how that happens? I think that's what we all want to accomplish.
Well, under Section 2, since the vehicle was stolen and not recovered within 30 days, it would be considered a totaled vehicle. Whether the uninsured individual chose to turn in the title and mark it stolen to DMV, or, you know, is questionable whether that would happen. I presume that they probably would go through that scenario, if for no other reason than to establish a loss from a tax standpoint.
Okay, so the vehicle then, they get back 31 days later.
Right.
They face a Class A misdemeanor if they don't have it branded as totaled.
Okay, but under, we've exempted them here on page 4 from that, line 26. We don't limit that to insurers. That exemption.
Go slow with me, because I don't know. One, two. So it's actually the one marked page 7?
No.
Page 4.
Page 4. It's farther back.
Seventh page in.
Okay. Mine's out of order. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, but that's page 4, line K. Do we have that?
Line 27. Yeah.
Line 27, right.
Section 4 of this. Okay, but division is which division at this point? we talk?
Department of Motor Vehicles, yes.
Okay.
So that would get it off of there. They would have no necessity to report it.
First section four.
But this would allow them to get that taken off.
To get it back on, right, yeah.
Revision is total four. I guess I have to get back to my original. Well, maybe it doesn't matter. It just seems like if it's not damaged, why do we bother with all this? Because we turn around and exempt it all out, don't we? Or am I missing something?
Well, I guess we don't know whether or not it's going to come back undamaged. Oftentimes when somebody's vehicle is stolen, it's taken out on joyrides and beat up, and it may be recovered many months later, and it is a vehicle that has to go to the salvage yard.
I understand then section 2 sub 3 would apply, right?
Yes.
She talks about the 80% threshold.
Yeah.
Of real damage. I mean, that's what you're after, is a vehicle that has some sustained physical damage. You're not going to know whether somebody drove it at 90 or 60. You're presuming, because it's been missing for 30 days, somebody has destroyed it. I'm just trying. My concern is with the poor sap out there who's got the vehicle and ends up having it totaled after it's been stolen and it's not insured and its value goes down, and you know, none of it his fault, yeah, or her fault. And if we're going to exempt that out, why do we bother to put it in, other than to confuse people and risk somebody getting zapped with a Class A misdemeanor for not going through this process?
Al, maybe you can tell us why it was in the original draft with regard to
Chairman,
the stolen vehicle.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, this section is one that we struggled with for a long period of time. We wanted something to cover the uninsured vehicle that was stolen. This was the best language we could come up with at that time.
Okay, but getting to Representative Wallen's point, if it's not damaged, why
right.
bother with it here? The insurance company
right.
can take care of it, but why go through this title stuff?
I'd have to defer that answer to Mr. Powell.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, in terms of the uninsured party, we didn't, you know, that wasn't part of our work here, but let me simply say, as the discussions have taken place on this, it's been pretty much understood that in the case of someone without insurance, that these provisions would probably be fairly loosely interpreted, meaning that in the case of a stolen vehicle, there people are not necessarily going to understand that they have to get this title in at a certain
right.
certain time, and at the same time, I think there was a feeling that this legislation was trying to capture all vehicles that could possibly be seriously wrecked. And it is possible for those vehicles to be seriously wrecked. So I think that's why they tried to pick up the uninsured vehicle. So that, as again, as I read this, even if the party went through this process, had the, submitted the title to be branded, it's totaled, that the language on page four would apply to that party just like it would the insurer. And that is, they could go back to DMV and indicate that the car had been stolen and not damaged, and thus get a title that is not branded.
Mr. Chair. Where does this 30 days come from? Is that the, do you know what the average length of time it takes for police authorities to recover a stolen vehicle?
The reason for the 30 days, Representative Barnes, is that's typically what's provided for in the insurance contract. After 30 days, the insurance carrier is normally required to pay the claim on a stolen vehicle.
Is that a realistic figure?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Barnes, I think in terms of insurance, it is. Simply because, unfortunately, so much of the auto theft is criminally inspired and by syndicates and that sort of thing, as opposed to somebody just coming along and getting your car to go to the next town. And in most of those cases, it's very difficult to relocate these. And one of the huge elements now in the rising cost of auto insurance is auto theft. And it takes place at a rate that is just almost unbelievable. As we speak, it is taking place in this state. So 30 days, I think, in terms of the insurance is practical.
Maybe you could just walk me through this to see how this is going to work. If a person's car is stolen and they don't have insurance, they have 30 days then to wait, and after that 30-day point, then they have 30 days to report it to DMV as a total vehicle.
I don't know that there's...
Or they're not to 30 days.
An additional 30 days?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Nato, on page 1, section 4, sub B, if it is stolen, they have 30 days within the day of that the vehicle became a total vehicle to report it.
Okay, I guess I was putting on.
Yes.
So, then we'll back up. It's stolen, there's no insurance, they have 30 days to report it to DMV that it's been totaled. And then, if they, after that time, recover it, and it wasn't damaged, how would that work? They'd notify DMV that they got it back and it wasn't damaged. And they would take that off of the title now, or?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Nato, yes, that's our understanding of how the procedure would work through the Department of Motor Vehicles.
The car couldn't be transferred to anyone, could it, since it didn't have a certificate of title? Or could it have been sold, you know, by a fence or whatever? I don't...
I'm sorry, I didn't...
I understand the need to cover the insurance loss for theft and put that into the total because we need to deal with that some way. But I'm just wondering if the other person that's uninsured, if that vehicle couldn't be transferred anyway unless they did a fraudulent title. Maybe I'm missing something. Or maybe we could look at two kinds of classification, one for stolen vehicle and one for totaled. I don't know, just I'm sort of struggling with
it. Yeah, can you tell us what happens when a vehicle is stolen, you picked it up, you paid it off, what do you do with the title in that case?
The vehicle.
It would be surrendered. Mr. Chairman, the in the case of a total loss like that, again, it would be surrendered to the Department of Motor Vehicles. It would be my understanding of that process. And again, I would assume that would be like any other total vehicle, and the title would be surrendered.
And reported to the division department as a stolen vehicle. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Is here from the department, the division.
Anyone from DMV here that can help us?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Joanne Peterson with Motor Vehicles Division. If I understand the questions, basically it's the process of what happens when the vehicle is damaged, whether it be by the insurance company or a private party.
Well, tell us first of all what happens when the insurance company pays off a stolen vehicle. What do they do with the title? Do they give it to you and say this vehicle was stolen?
Mr. Chairman, under present law, they wouldn't turn it into us unless the vehicle was known to be a destroyed vehicle under current definition. Under House Bill 2297, as proposed to be amended, they would turn the title into us, and that would be turned in, as I understand,